Well, it's good to be here. In a certain way, it's always good to be back to Napanee. I got a lot of memories from Napanee. Went to public school, high school. Most of the memories are good. A couple of them I just soon not remember. But anyway. We won't bother. We won't get into that. I'm glad to see Gladys Hudgen here today. I don't know if you all know Gladys or not, but I've known her for a long time, Gladys. Gladys, I'm sure you don't mind me telling them, you're the best looking 92 years young that I know of, I'll tell you. Stand up, Gladys, just in case you don't know who I'm talking about. Amen. Praise God. Once in a while, I phone and we chat a little on the phone. It's always about spiritual things, I'm sure. Praise God. You know, you can always observe something, learn something afresh and anew. And I just watched those little children come forward to children's church this morning, and I'm sure you noticed it too, and we sort of take some of these things for granted. Did you notice how they came to children's church? They ran. Hello? I mean, now quit telling yourself you're too old to run. They ran to children's church. I like that. You know, the Bible says we can learn from a little child. What do you say? Come on, preacher. Now, don't get started on the wrong thing. You think we're going to run into the house of God? Well, I tell you one thing. It reminded, my mind went back in memory's lane. Long time ago now, I was an evangelist, and that time I was in Penticton, B.C. Sometimes the Lord gives you a very unusual meeting of God's blessing, and this was one of them. I went to preach. The Holy Spirit didn't let me preach. I didn't know why. So I stopped, and then I thought I'll read my text again. That's what I'm supposed to do, is preach. And I went to read it again, and I just knew that God said, not now. And what else do you do? If you don't know what to do, you bow your head in prayer, right? And so we prayed, and then God showed me. God said, there's someone here that I want to say get saved this morning. And it was quite a big church, as I recall, quite long, and way at the back, second row from the back, I opened the invitation, and I said, is there someone here this morning? You need to find God. And you're willing to come forward. And a man raised his hand back there. Nobody had ever seen him before. He was a railroad man. Now you talk about what the Holy Spirit can do. He was a railroad man 5 miles out of... I'm going to take this off because I know I'm going to take it off anyway. Amen. Look at this. You know, they got me a stool and I appreciate that. In case you... That's all right, Pastor. Yeah. Oh, thanks very much. And he was 5 miles, worked 5 miles out. We learned that he had been to church only twice in 28 years. And I don't even know if that was a church service, maybe a funeral or a wedding. But working on the railroad, now this is what the Holy Spirit can and will do. All week long, it kept going over and over and over in his mind, I've got to find God. I have to find God. I have to find God. Imagine that. A man never gave a thought to God before, probably. And here he was the man. So he started walking 5 miles into Penticton from the railroad. And he got there. He didn't know one church from the other. No idea what all the churches. He wasn't that kind of a man. And he walked. He told us later. He walked. He started. I think he said he started at something like 6 o'clock in the morning to walk in. And he walked and walked and walked. And he went by churches and he'd go to turn in. One was the same as the other to him. He'd go to turn in and something inside would say, no, not there, not there. He kept walking. He'd walk by another church. No, not there. He just knew that. Until finally he came in front of the church that the Pentecostal church in Penticton. And something inside said, yes, in there. And when I got up to preach, the Holy Spirit said, I've got something else I want to do. You better just obey. And so I gave him a call to come to the front and get saved. And he came and got saved and gave us this testimony of how it happened. Now, this all brings me around to full circle now. When I saw those children run to children's church, that's one time I remember the whole congregation were so moved that they ran to the altar. Hallelujah. You missed a good place to say amen. I know some of you said it, but it was Anglican-like. Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be with Pastor Lush again. Long time, a little while, it's quite a little time since we met, I know. But I know that I believe it was during a CA convention in, was it in Stephenville, Newfoundland. Amen. And that was the first time that a recollection. Praise the Lord. You know, God's always doing something. Have you got a little time? I'm only going to preach an hour and a half, so don't worry about it. You got a little time. When I was on my way to, I was speaking at that convention and from St. Catharines. My youth leader, Rudy Krulik, who's later on ran the drama Hell's Gates and Hell's Flames for years, thousands have been converted. He was my youth leader and he was also a member of the board, but he couldn't sing a lick. He didn't know Q flat from A sharp. He did not know. And he never could sing. But he said to me, would you mind if I went with you to this CA convention in Newfoundland? I said, Rudy, you'll have to pay your own fare. Oh, no, no problem. And then he went. When it was over, there was a group there from Labrador that sang. And they sang a chorus that had a tricky little ending to it, you know. And that's how I love him so, he's so real to me. That's how it went. And I knew Rudy couldn't sing. He said, I could sing that chorus. And I got a little carnal, you know. I said, a whole steak dinner, Rudy, says you can't sing that chorus. I knew he couldn't get those last notes going down like that. Well, you know what? He said, yes, I can. He sang them perfectly. Well, it cost me a steak dinner. It did. That'll show you what you get for gambling, doesn't it? But it was worth it. And you know, when he came back to St. Catharines, he became the worship leader of the church. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, you don't know what God's going to do for you here this morning. Amen. God may change some things all around for good and bless you. Praise the Lord. Why? Because he's still God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, well, I better get to preaching before noon. All right. I'm going to invite you to turn out next time. If there's a next time, my piano's been broken for 6 months. And I got to keep practice the way I play. I got to practice. So I haven't. I got a piano tuner coming on Friday. So when I get back in tune, I'll, if I'm here again, I'll do something. All right, in Matthew chapter 6, please, turn in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to read 25, verse 25. Matthew chapter 6. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Consider the lilies. I guess it's a very seasonal message. It took me 2 weeks to come to this, so I thought I was going to preach something else. Totally thought it was, and God changed me all around. Nowhere in Scripture can one think of a more needful reflection in the light of our present days and time, so full of rush, anxiety, overcare, as the simple, unusual, yet profound exhortation of our text this morning. Consider the lilies. God is absolutely unique. How easy he always seems to find it to bring life's greatest lessons from the most unexpected, unusual sources. Just so here. He didn't tell us to consider the stars, the sun, the moon, the planets, or even planet Earth, which hurtles through space at 18 miles a second. Isn't it something? You feel comfortable, but we're traveling 18 miles a second all the time we sit here. Amazing. Goes around the sun every 365.24 days. You say, why not 366? Well, the 0.75 times 4 gives you a leap year in February, and that makes up. And you know, it's so faithful, it's tipped to 23.4 degrees angle, which gives us our seasons. And quite an amazing thing. Man can't even make a train come in on time all the time. And you can set your clock that it's going to be here right on time. Hallelujah. That almost makes me feel spiritual. Praise the Lord. Amen. You all got your clock set right, didn't you, this weekend? Amen. Here I was sitting back and said, God, there won't be many there this morning. They'll miss the time. God said, you let me take care of that. Amen. Looks like you all got it. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. This is what man is largely trying to consider today, as such as the Tower of Babel, etc. But when God, the divine creator, wants to teach us an important lesson, he doesn't have to reach for the stars. To the sluggard, he says, look at the little old ant. To the ambitious, he says, look at the spider. And to the procrastinator, he says, watch the coney, species of rabbit. And to this science-oriented, pleasure-mad, fashion-conscious, computerized world today, God literally says, don't get so all taken up with it all. I tell you, there are more important, vital lessons to be learned from the simple, humble, unpretentious lily of the field. Hallelujah. And you know what? I stopped because I'm not so excited at what I've said, but I'm excited at what I'm going to say. Hallelujah. All right. There's no doubt of our day today that unescapable importance is being put on many, many other things. So the burden of our message this morning is perhaps threefold. We're not to get caught up with the rush and self-indulgent pleasures above things of God's kingdom. Can you say amen to that? We are not to set our hearts on treasures of this world. We are not even to worry over or to become anxious over the mundane necessities of life, food, clothing, or what shall be on the morrow. We are to seek first, meaning foremost, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be taken care of. Isn't he a wonderful heavenly Father? Praise the Lord. So God took the lowly, unpretentious, yet beautiful lily to teach us some of the greatest lessons pertaining to the kingdom of God. As stated, he didn't say, "Behold the oak tree." He didn't say, "Behold the giant fir tree." He said, "Consider the lily." Now notice he didn't say, "Notice the lily." He didn't say, "Behold the lily, one good look at the lily." No. Or he didn't say, "Admire the lily." He said, "Consider the lily. Spend some time thinking about it, looking at it, to see what God was saying and talking about to us." God said, Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, let us then do exactly what Jesus said. Let us stop and consider what Jesus, my, what a master teacher the Lord was and still is. The lily is not glorious because of the richness of its adorn. Ooh, what does that say to us? Well, it's not like Hollywood, right? With veneer. With so many coats of, well, I won't get into that. So, coats of paint. Well, I remember one time many, many years ago in Brayside Camp, one preacher said, "Now, I'm not against painting. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not clothesline stuff at all." But one preacher got going a little bit, ad-libbing, and he said, "Well," he said, "let the girls put a little mascara on." He said, "I've never seen an old red barn that a good coat of red paint didn't help it a little bit." Another man got up, the speaker got up and said, "Yeah, but if the barn ever catches on fire, the paint's the first thing that peels off." I just thought I'd throw that in. There are a lot of beautiful flowers, some more beautiful than the lily. When Jesus came, he said, the Bible says, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Some give off a much more scented hue than the lily. Now, isn't it good that our favor with God then does not depend upon our earthly looks and beauty? Thank God for that. That's how I got in. Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. Take a look at yourself when you go home and say, "God, I thank you. You made me just like I am." Hallelujah. Isn't that good? doesn't depend. Favor with God does not depend upon earthly. Oh, you can talk about Pons, Revlon, Santilli, Messicara. Well, all right. Some of you didn't get that. All right, that's all right. In 1 Peter 3:3-4, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning or a putting on apparel or taking off, let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek, quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. I remember one time in Willowdale, Toronto, a lady came in and, wow, she had to get deliverance. She'd been messing around in spiritism meetings over in England before she ever came across. It's the most exaggerated case I've ever seen in my life. We had to fast and pray to get her delivered, but she was a society gal, you see. I'll never forget this. Her first name was Sadie. That's as far as I'll go. When she came into church, she wanted to sit right on the second pew from the front. Well, she had a hat that was just about like this. I mean, it was the size of a spare tire on any car, I'm telling you. And that wasn't all. Her dresses were party dresses. I mean, yeah, I even had some people come up to me and said, Pastor, you've got to talk to her. Those dresses are a disgrace to God. And then I had two or three ladies that came and said, I can't even see you on the pulpit for those hats she's wearing. You know, Pastor, talk to her. And you know, sometimes you got to let God talk to people. Amen? Hallelujah. Sometimes you got to let God do the work. And I didn't feel led. Finally, Sadie went over to the Shepherd Lodge to visit some sick, dear people over there. And one dear lady was bedfast, an elderly lady, but so full of God. And in love, she looked at Sadie and said words something. And this all came back to me. Oh, my dear, she said. And she was looking at Sadie's dress. You know, she said, and she was so loving about it. Sadie came back with her Scottish brogue and said, Pastor, she said, I wish there was a hole in the floor. I would have dropped through it. Amen. That took care of the hats and the dresses. Hallelujah. Don't you know, isn't it wonderful when God takes care of something? Don't try to reform somebody in 2 weeks and in progress that you and I haven't made for 40 years. Oh, you're coming. Hallelujah. This is good stuff. Amen. All right, who's adorning? So, oh my, you know, you might get somebody come in like a Sadie, you know, and say, well, God will take care of his own business. Get them saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise. You say, you mean God can fill somebody with a hat and a dress like that? I kind of think he can. Praise the Lord. And then he can clean them up too. Amen. All right. Now, secondly, and sometimes we say, oh, I could do so much better if only if I had different surroundings. If just things were different, if I had a different son or daughter or husband or wife or whatever it might be. But it wasn't the surroundings of the lily. Jesus points out it was a lily of the field, not cultured in a garden. It was not in a hotbed or palace window. God doesn't produce hothouse incubator children. Just study the New Testament. There's an old saying says, bloom where you're planted. Hallelujah. Well, you didn't say amen. I'll encourage my Dave encouraged himself in the Lord. You're doing good, Jerry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God doesn't produce hothouse Christians. No, surroundings do not make the beauty. Bloom where you're planted. All right. The kingdom of God. Oh, there's so much about the kingdom of God. I'm going to hurry just a little bit here at this point. Sometimes we make the mistake of waiting for some more favorable winds or conducive circumstances. There may be someone say, well, you know, I would, if I could do so well if it just wasn't for this or for this or for that or something else. My brother, take where God has put you and bloom where you're planted. That's what the lily teaches us about. Consider the lily. Hallelujah. Life goes by so quickly. Large church, small church, different circumstances, personnel, oh my. I heard a man one time in Toronto, he was a builder, and he'd built a few hundred houses. He said, you know what? There's no such thing as a perfect house. I said, what do you mean that? He said, there's no such thing as a perfect house. He said, I built one for my wife and me, and then we found something that wasn't right. So I said, no problem, we'll sell it, and I'll build another one. And he built another one, moved in that. That was perfect, you see. After a little while, he said, it wasn't right either. My wife found a few things that weren't just ideal. So he said, no problem, we'll sell it and build another. He said, we're on our third one, and it's not perfect either. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad to bloom right where God plants me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh my, remember the chorus we used to sing, brighten the corner where you are. God wants us to be unspotted from the world. The lily is a flower of glory because of its whiteness and cleanness and unspottedness. In England, for example, it can grow in a deserted coal slag, but nevertheless, it's always white and pure looking. Never gets contaminated with the coal dust and all that that's around it. My, in conversation, we can be unspotted in one's thought, life, and honor. Fourthly, the lily is so natural and pure looking. Jesus said, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. No matter where it is, it's still just a lily. It puts on no airs. It makes no pretenses. That's a sign of real Christianity, the same at home as on the street and among the crowd. Our Dr. Wortman, who was the General Secretary of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada some years ago, he's gone to glory now, but what a great man he was. He was a medical doctor and a missionary to Argentina. And he told a story one time, and I thought it was interesting. He said that there was a lady in a big church, and her husband passed away. And he said that husband, what he was on the outside for people to see, she didn't feel it measured up at home all the time. In fact, it was mighty tough just living there and with this situation as it was. Well, anyway, the husband died, and the funeral was scheduled. There was two funerals that day. The funeral was scheduled, and they were there, and the pastor got up, and he was saying so many beautiful things about this man. Oh, he was this, and he was this, and oh, my, finally, the little lady, she thought to herself, there's something wrong here. And when they bowed their heads in prayer, she said to her little boy, son, go up and take a peek in there and make sure that's your father. Well, that was Doc Wortman. You pick up a rose up and it looks beautiful, but you may get your hand full of thorns, but not the lily. Purity and humility. I heard the other day a story about one of these dear people in the States that nonviolence. They just don't believe in any such thing. We had never used a rod or a whip with any animal or what have you. And there's farmers around, so you'll understand what I'm talking about, I hope. And so there was this cow. She was an ornery critter. She'd put her foot right in the pail of milk. She'd kick it over. She'd swat him with her tail. And he was a nonviolent man. And so finally, he had about all he could handle. And he stood up and get the stool in his hand from milking. And he went to her head. "Now," he says, "thou dost know that I'm a nonviolent man. But if thou dost not cut out this conduct, I'm going to sell you to the Baptist down the road, and he's going to whale the tar out of you." Purity. Now, how does the lily get this way? She hasn't always been a beautiful flower, you know. There was a time when it was a little old, gnarly, ugly-looking ball. Nothing is more unbeautiful than a lily in its original stage. But it submitted to God. Maybe there was an acorn lying beside it saying something like this, "I'm going to grow up to be a big oak tree." And I heard that story too one time. A little oak said to the big oak beside it, "I'm an oak tree." And the big oak said, "No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not." After another year, "I'm an oak tree." "No, you're not. No, you're not." And there came a hurricane through and blew, and the wind and the storm. And when the big oak looked down, here was the little one still standing. And the little one says, "I'm an oak tree." And the big oak says, "Yes, you are." We go through trials and testings, don't we? Right. I remember one time in Hamilton, Ontario. I'll never forget this. I'll never forget it. They had an orchestra, about 30 pieces, I think it was, led by former Salvation Army command leader, master. And I was a study that God taught me something from looking at that. Here's what I saw. There was a man there that had a little piccolo, little wee licorice stick like this. And all he was doing is certain parts that would go twiddly-deet, twiddly-deet, twiddly-deet. And he looked happy, and he looked like he was 350 pounds. Now, there was a little man, a little Britisher, I remember, and he had a big tuba, great big tuba like this. And here he was going, whomp, 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 whomp. And I thought, what a contrast. Here's the big man with a little licorice stick, and here's the little man with a great big tuba. I could almost envision something. I could see that big man going to the little man and say, "Hey, you so-and-so, I should have that big horn. You're only a little guy. You should have the little piccolo." Or the little man saying to the big fella, "You got more wind than I've got. You should take this big thing, and I'll take..." But you know what? Both men looked happy. The little fella was going tweedle, the big man, tweedly-deet, tweedly-deet, and the big man, whoop, 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 and it was beautiful music. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful? When we all pull together, how happy we'll be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know if you're enjoying this, but I'm getting having a whale of a time up here. Hallelujah. But it's submitted to God. It must be satisfied to be a lily. Listen to Scripture. "Whatsoever thine hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Oh, to learn Christ's admonition about the lily. The values of this world are fleeting. The values of heaven never fade. And then here's another lesson from the lily. It's learned the lesson of appropriation. It uses all the sun and the shade and the rain and the dew. I wouldn't dare ask an audience anywhere this winter. I wouldn't dare say, how many'd like a little more winter, hey? How many'd like a little more snow? I doubt it very much, right? You know, but you have to take whatever comes, don't you? And we make the best of it. Yeah, it's learned the lesson of appropriation. What would have happened if when rain coming down in torments, the lily pulled its head back and said something like this, I don't like this rain. I don't like it. I don't like these hot days. I don't like these cold days. My, that reminds me of something. You know, that's like saying, some people would say, well, I like a loud service, or I like a quiet service, or I like this kind of singing, or that. Incidentally, I enjoyed every bit of the song service this morning. Hallelujah. It was good. Almost made me feel spiritual. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No, you know, whatever comes, we have to take whatever God sends our way. And that's the lily. It uses them all to grow. So with God, we need all of God's word, the whole course of God's word, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God's ways. Some think God's only in the shouting service. I remember hearing Dr. Rotz one time. He was the dean of our EPBC Bible College. And he said he went to a church where half the people were Armenian and half were Calvinistic. Well, you know the difference. And the only thing is, the Calvinistic sat on one side and the Armenians on the other. And he said, when I preached on works, he said, the Armenians got blessed and shouted, and the Calvins just hung their head. Then when I preached on the grace of God, the Calvins got joyful and the Armenians got quiet. Oh my, I think we can all say praise God, hallelujah, for the word of God, because we need every bit of it. Amen. The lily has to give to live. The bee comes along and buzzes like a dive bomber and sticks down that horn down into the lily and takes all that precious nectar. The lily doesn't like this. It decides to close up the next time and begins to droop, and the leaves wither and begin to die. Why? Because the lily has learned she has to give to live. Amen. Isn't that a good lesson spiritually? Now, the lily doesn't get there overnight. The Bible says we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God's ways, daily being sanctified by the word. I remember when I lived in Napanee. Oh, my. I guess in those days, there was a few people that thought I was a sinner. I don't think God thought that, but I think there's a few thought I was. There used to be a man named George Mandolis that used to run the Hamburg Grill. He had a bowling alley. And a man came to my father, knowing I was the preacher's son, you see. Not easy to be in the preacher's son, you know. And a man came to my father and said, did you know that your son is hanging around that bowling alley half of the time? And my father said, yes, I guess he is. Incidentally, I had something to show for it. I had the highest score of the men in all the whole thing. But anyway, this man wasn't impressed. And he said to my father, what are you going to do about it? And my father said, I don't know. And he called the man by name, and I won't mention that. He said, what do you think I should do? He says, I'd kick him out. Man, I'm glad my father didn't listen to him. Hallelujah. God says, I got a plan for him. Amen. I haven't bowled in three country ages. But in those days, it wasn't all that bad. Amen. So be patient with one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She has to give to live. She doesn't get there overnight. The Bible says, daily being conformed to his divine image. Now, perhaps the greatest lesson that we can learn from this lily, that Jesus said, consider it, is she has her root hidden. Oh, how important this is. It draws up moisture and life out of the soil. When the stem and flower wither, the root does not die. Why? Because it's drawing strength from the soil. Thank God we have a great Heavenly Father that we can draw strength and life and encouragement and blessing from just when we need it. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? There's never been a trial that's too big for God. There's never been a problem too big for God. There's never been a hurting that's too big for God. There's never been a circumstance. You know where that word comes from? Circum means it surrounds you, and stance, it means stands up in front of you. Oh my, there's never been a circumstance too great for God. Our God is capable of anything that comes along. He, behold the lily, he said, study it and you'll learn about my ways with you. Praise the Lord. Well, I could give you 8 scriptural reasons why we must consider these things and not, but I'm going to give you something else instead in closing, the regular closing that I might have gone that route. A few weeks ago, it's more than a few weeks ago now, it's New Year's session or New Year's season, the Lord laid a message on my heart, and I entitled it, The Importance of God's Firsts. God's Firsts. And there are 8 of them here. I wasn't aware there were that many in the Bible. And I'm just going to rhyme them off for you for your health and hopefully blessing. First, God says, spiritual, then temporal. Matthew 22. The first and great commandment is love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind. And if we do that, there's no problem that can overthrow us. Amen. Here's the second one. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Isn't that wonderful? Seek first the kingdom of God. God's got 8 firsts in here. Thirdly, first your brother, then your gift, Matthew 5. In other words, be right, horizontal, vertical, and around. You understand, I won't embellish that. First the inside, then the outside, 2 Chronicles 29. Where giving must begin, first they gave themselves to the Lord by the will of God. Where piety and consistency must begin, 1 Timothy 5, let them first show piety at home. And where, seventhly, where soul winning must begin, John 1:41, Andrew first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah. And eighthly, where judgment must begin, 1 Peter 4:17, judgment must first begin at the house of God. Hallelujah. So I want to consider the lily. I want to consider, Jesus said, don't just think about it, get time and consider it. Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Let's bow our hearts together. Heavenly Father, we want to do exactly as your word has said to us today. You told us to consider the lily. It wasn't or isn't the most beautiful flower that we could think of. You told us even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But Lord, we're all important in your kingdom. We all play a part in the kingdom of God. And we thank you for it. whatever that place is in God's economy and God's kingdom, we praise you today that you told us to consider the lily. Thank you for it, Lord. Bless it to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. I'm thinking just as I close, years ago in Kingston, Ontario, my father was the minister of the Pentecostal church that then was, he was the pastor, then was located at 285 Queen Street in Kingston. There was a man that came to a Sunday morning service. If I mention his name, there's all possibility there'd be someone here that would know who he was. Jim McGregor. In fact, there were two men. The other was Bob Frey. Bob later became the mayor of Kingston, and Jim was his campaign manager and promoter. And Jim came to a Sunday morning service. This is a true story, of course. And when the service was over, he was on his way out. And a man shook hands with him and said something like this, "God bless you, sir." And Jim never got away from that all week long. He couldn't shake it. What did that man have that he doesn't have? He knew that man had something, the way he said, "God bless you," just shaking hands at the door. And all week long, he was so curious, he came back to find out what that man had that said, "God bless you." And Jim McGregor, he owned McGregor the Mover, moving vans, going all across Canada and shipping all over the world. Gave thousands to world missions later. And Jim came back to find out, what did that usher have when he said, "God bless you"? And you know what Jim told my father? He said, "Honest, Pastor." He said, "I must be honest with you." He said, "I couldn't remember a word of the sermon you preached." Oh, thanks, Jim. The old ego goes down, right? Not really, if you do it for God's glory. "I couldn't remember a word, but," he said, "it was the way that man said, 'God bless you.'" And he came back the next Sunday and got gloriously saved. Hallelujah. Oh, consider the lily. You may be shaking hands with someone. You may never know the impact you have. It may just be the smile on your face. It may be the tone of your voice. It may be the anointing of God inside your heart. But I'll tell you, you're a missionary for the Lord. Hallelujah.